The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
The judgment seat of Christ. What is the purpose of this judgment? Will believers have to answer for their sins? What will it be like? Hello, friend. Thank you for joining us on Grace in Focus. This is the broadcast and podcast arm of the Grace Evangelical Society. We come to you from North Texas, and we have a website, faithalone.org. Right now, we especially want you to be considering coming to our national conference. That is May the 19th through the 22nd. It's at a very nice camp in North Texas. You can find out more about it, early bird registration and first-timers registration, all the information you need at faithalone.org. And now with our discussion of the day, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
Well, we have a question from Sid today, and I'm going to serve you up a softball pitch because I know that you've discussed this years ago at a conference.
I'm a little bit afraid when you tell me about softball.
It's a softball pitch.
Yeah, right. Okay.
He was dealing with the group Got Questions, and basically his question is, will the believer have to answer for his sins at the judgment seat of Christ?
And what did God questions say? They said yes?
Yes. And Sid is like, no, we won't have to answer. And from our discussion, I think you're going to take a middle road.
Right.
Here,
right? Okay. So yeah,
years ago, you discussed this issue. Right?
Maybe 25 years ago, I spoke at the pre-trib study group on this issue. Will the sins of believers be brought up at the judgment seat of Christ? Tim LaHaye was still alive then. He was the head of it. Tommy Ice was there as well. And I remember I spoke and I kind of shocked Tim LaHaye and some of the people there, because my view is our sins will not be brought up as sins, but they will be brought up.
So Tim was shocked. What about the others? I mean, did you get a general, or did you get some people like?
I think the general, Chris, this was much smaller. Today it's got like 400 or 500 people come to that conference. Back then it was about 40 people maybe I spoke in front of. And I would say that almost everybody there held the view that if you confessed your sins, they wouldn't come up at the judgment seat of Christ. But if you didn't confess, in other words, if you died out of fellowship with God, well, then some of those sins would come up because they were unconfessed. But as long as you confess them, they'd never come up. Now, other people, I think, at the group held the view that, no, confessed or unconfessed, they won't come up.
So it's either praise or nothing. Yeah,
right.
The view.
Yeah. A lot of people, and I don't know if this was true of all the ones at the pre-trib study group, but a lot of people view the judgment seat of Christ as an awards ceremony, kind of like we're giving out medals at the Olympics.
And if you don't get a medal, you just don't get the medal, but there's no rebuke.
There's no negative consequences.
Right.
There's no rebuke, no negative consequences. And on top of that, a lot of people hold the view that all believers are overcomers.
Well, yeah, we
therefore,
know that that's
crazy. Everybody wins.
Yeah, right.
Everybody gets
a first place.
Right.
Yeah. I remember not too long ago, I did a conference in Italy. And there was a lady there who was very strong on this. She was very offended that I said there's going to be people rebuked at the judgment seat of Christ. She said, no, it'll all be positive. So,
and that's a common view.
Yeah,
and I get it.
Right.
And I would like it to be positive. But,
and by the way, as you know, the thinking is Christ died for all of our sins, so how can they be brought up? That's the argument.
Okay. So yeah. here's what I said 25 years ago, and here's what I still say today. Our sins will not be brought up as sins because the blood of Jesus Christ has already paid for our sins. We've already experienced the sin barrier being removed. If you read, for example, all of the passages dealing with the judgment seat of Christ, we're never seeing the word sin. The same thing with the Great White Throne Judgment. If you read Revelation 20, 11 to 15, it says that books were opened and those present at the Great White Throne Judgment, the unbelievers there, were judged according to their works. It doesn't say good works or bad works. It says works. Well, in 2 Corinthians,
and it definitely doesn't say sins.
And it definitely doesn't say sins. So works will be judged at the Great White Throne Judgment. Works will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, whether good or bad. And at this talk I gave 25 years ago, I showed that the word bad, there's a textual problem there. Most of the manuscripts read kakon, which is clearly bad, agathon versus kakon. But the other option is it's agathon versus phallon, and some people argue that's good and worthless. If you do a study of every time the words agathos and phallos occur together in the New Testament, with a chi in between, with and in between, it always means good or bad, or good or evil. It never means good and worthless. And so,
even if the critical text is right there, right?
Right. The critical text is phallon.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's more clear with the kakon, right?
Right.
Yeah. Bad.
It is.
Right.
It's clearly bad, but it's bad either way.
Right.
Now, so here's three points I wanted to make in answer to Sid's question. First, bad works will be judged, but they won't be judged as sins. So a person like we've had a number of pastors here in North Texas last year in 2024 who lost their jobs because of moral failure of some kind, are they going to be held accountable at the judgment seat of Christ? My answer would be absolutely.
So that will come up.
It will come up.
These bad works.
But not a sin. So the Lord's not going to go, hey, what he's going to say is what you did here brought dishonor to my name. What this did here was hurt your church. What this did here was caused some problems for my cause on earth. And so as a result, you're reaping some consequences. So my first point is, no, they won't be judged as sins, but they will be judged as works, as bad works.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically, or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
Secondly, I would like to say there's three types of works: the good works, the bad works, and the worthless works. Here's where I'm getting to worthless. 2 Corinthians 5:10 is not talking about good and worthless. It's talking about good and bad. But 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15, talks about good works and worthless works. The good works are gold, silver, precious stones, things that are building up the church. The bad works are wood, hay, and straw.
No, the worthless works. You said bad.
I said bad. They're not bad.
Yeah,
they're worthless.
Worthless work.
I used to say they were bad, but I remember I was at a talk with Zane Hodges, and Zane Hodges says, no, there's nothing indicating here these are bad works.
And we all believers do worthless works.
We all do. And the example that Zane Hodges gave is he said, let's say you go on a youth outing to Colorado to ski. It's a week-long ski trip in Colorado. He said, in the first place, the Bible doesn't say anything about youth groups. It doesn't say anything about ski trips. And you're not getting any rewards for skiing and going on vacation. He said, maybe there'd be a little bit of reward because you might do a little Bible teaching during that week. You might disciple a little bit or evangelize a little. So there might be a little reward, but he said most of that week is going to burn up.
And it's not bad.
It's not bad.
Yeah,
it's okay to go on vacation.
Sure.
Right? But don't think that when you're doing that, somehow you're laying up a lot of treasure in heaven.
Because we might justify that. We might justify it like this. Well, yeah, I like to go skiing, but you know, this is really going to be pleasing the Lord, because if I take these kids, they're going to be exposed to the church or something.
Right.
Or whatever justification
and,
I can
And Hodges'
for.
Point is most of that's going to burn.
Right.
And the same thing, you go hunting, nothing wrong with that. Fishing, nothing wrong. Golf, nothing wrong with that. Tennis, nothing wrong with that.
Go to a Mavericks game?
You go to a Mavericks game, you watch something on TV, watch a sporting event on TV. But that's all going to burn.
Right.
Now, we need some of that in order to be balanced. So you kind of have to balance your life out and decide. So my second point is there's three types of works. And guess what? The good works, we get praise and we get reward. And we see that, for example, in the parable of the minas in Luke 19, the parable of talents in Matthew 25, etc. The bad works, we get rebuke and loss of reward. And we see that in the minas and the talents and other places. And the worthless works, we're told by Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:10-15, are simply burned up.
They're neither here nor there.
There's no rebuke, and there's no praise. They're simply burned up.
So the Lord doesn't rebuke you for going on that ski trip, but there's certainly nothing rewardable in it.
Right. My third point would be that there is some sort of consequence for the bad works. Now, we're not exactly told what those consequences are. We do know that the believer who dies when they're no longer a confessing Christian, they're no longer a person who is confessing Christ, that person is not going to rule and reign with Christ, and they will be rebuked by him. In the parable of the mina is the third servant. The Lord calls him a wicked servant, and he takes his mina away from him and gives it to the one who has 10. This guy has 10 cities. Now he's got an 11th city to rule.
So there's a loss of reward.
He's not going to rule with Christ. He potentially was going to rule over one city, but that's taken away from him. So there's going to be some sort of rebuke. But I would point this out as well, that whatever these negative consequences are at the judgment seat of Christ, we will get over those things almost immediately. Right now, when we experience grief, it may linger a long time when we lose a loved one, right? But eventually, we go through the grief process. When we have glorified bodies, we'll go through the grief process in minutes. It's not going to be years. And so it's not like the person who's not ruling with Christ is somehow going to be bummed out forever. They may regret the fact that they're not ruling, but they'll be perfectly content because that's part of glorification, right?
And they'll know that judgment is just.
They'll know the judgment is just. So my point to Sid is the bad works will be judged. Remember in Galatians.
But not as sin.
Not as sin.
Right.
But remember, Paul said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows,
that's what he will also reap.
Was that true or not true?
That's true. And so it's the loss of rewards. It's the loss of what could have been.
And some rebuke. But having said that, this applies to both types of believers, the overcomer and the non-overcomer. So the overcomer, his bad works are going to in some way lessen to some degree his rewards.
Yes.
And for the non-overcomer, his bad works are to some degree going to lessen his treasure in heaven.
Right.
And
right.
It can increase the rebuke that he would get. But we really don't know all the details of that. So I'm leaving it very vague. But to say that, what was the woman in Italy she said?
She said that no one will get rebuked at the Lord's. He's not going to be displeased with any believer.
How could you read the New Testament or the Old Testament and come away with that conclusion?
Sure.
It might be a nice way to think, but what we're doing there is imposing our ideas on the Scriptures. Let's get our ideas from the Scriptures.
The great question, Sid.
Yes.
And remember,
keep grace in focus.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, is it right for teachers and preachers to tell sinners to turn from their sin? That's next time. Until then, keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.